This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f-
she
spoke the truth.
Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hello again, it's Ian Pickus from the WAMC Newsroom. And we're turning this entire episode of the WAMC News Podcast over to an interview our Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes recorded this week with Berkshire County District Attorney Andrea Harrington. Harrington won a contentious 2018 election on a reform ticket, promising the community a new prosecutorial approach predicated on social justice, transparency, and greater outreach. 6 months into the job, Harrington sat down with Josh to talk about her recent trip to Portugal with a progressive district attorney group called Fair and Just Prosecution. She also addressed changes to her office's community outreach program, the difficulties of implementing a database system, her experience handling a quadruple murder homicide in Sheffield, Mass., and much more.
Well, I saw a lot of similarities between the community in Portugal and what we see here in Berkshire County. You know, the people that we met who were actually providing social services to people struggling with substance use, like out on the streets, they reminded me of people from Berkshire County. There were people who were so incredibly kind and caring and a genuine spirit of service that to me really resonated. Otherwise, you know, we met with people in Parliament. We met with the Ministry of Health. We met with EU officials that work on drug policy from across the EU. I went out with on the streets on like a ride along with the Portuguese police. We went to a mobile methadone van. We went to a mobile safe consumption site. We went with social workers that are street outreach teams. So we really got to see their approach to drug policy at all different levels of government.
What did you observe as far as actionable policies that you might be able to bring here to your work in the Berkshires?
The biggest overall impression that being in Portugal made on me was that the decriminalization of possession of drugs really reduced the stigma around drug use. And where the criminal justice system stopped playing a role in prosecuting possession cases, their health system took up that space. So whereas instead of being prosecuted, people have way more access to health care in Portugal. And the healthcare is really designed to meet people where they're at. They service people who are very much at risk through like the mobile methadone van versus, you know, people who have jobs and pretty function in society but still struggle with substance use disorder and also get treatment in a different way that works for them. So, you know, I think that there are absolutely lessons that we could bring here to Berkshire County. I mean, one of the things that I'm working on in this office is the destigmatization piece. I've been attending the drug court graduations here in Berkshire County and really showing my support of the graduates of that program and starting to really spread this, just the attitude that people who struggle with substance use disorder have, it's a health condition. And we need to provide health care. So we talk about that. That's how we act here in this office and how we address those cases to the extent that we can. What's really missing for us, though, is the treatment piece. And we are working with our community partners to try to, you know, work to bring in more resources to fill those gaps.
On the domestic front, the DA of San Francisco announced back in February that he would be wiping almost 10,000 possession cases off of the books for San Francisco residents dating back to 1975. Is that a tactic you think could apply here in the Berkshires as far as destigmatizing the relationship of possession to the community at large?
Yes, that's great that you asked me that question. I just met with Community Legal Aid here in the office just before you got here, and that's one of the things that we talked about, because one of the, so Community Legal Aid helps people with their like civil legal issues. And one of the things that they do have a project, an expungement project, where they help people with the paperwork and get through the process of having their records expunged and sealed. My office, we have received those. So those are filed with the courts, but then we receive notice of that, and where we think it's appropriate, and we almost always do have found it to be appropriate since I've been in office, we write letters of support for people looking to expunge old charges, particularly marijuana charges. But it's something that I think we really need to make more accessible to more people, because you have to know about it, you have to know how to do it, you have to, you know, be able to commit yourself to the time. So we did talk to Community Legal Aid about how we could maybe work together to help people with that process. I mean, one of the things that watching the drug court graduation and hearing from the graduates as they go out to look for employment, their criminal records is a real stumbling block. And I know the drug court has, there's wonderful local employers who want to work with us and work with drug court in providing employment to people. But, you know, it came up in the last ceremony I was at, that somebody applied for a job that they didn't get because of their past records. So I think there's definitely work that we can do in our community to help people just contribute to society. And so the expungement and sealing pieces is an important part of that.
Your office announced this month that there would be some revisions being made to your community outreach program. There was some concern in the community that things like the Strive Youth Leadership Conference might be threatened by these revisions. I wanted to hear more about what's going to change in the Berkshire DA office's community outreach program.
Yeah, so the community outreach is a really, really important, that was an important piece of my platform, because I felt that it was really important for the district attorney's office to have a meaningful community dialogue and to be active in the community. And that's how we know what the values are in the community, what the challenges are, what the struggles are. And what I found while I was running, but also what I find now being in the office, are people want to be involved and want to know what's going on in the office and want to be participating in things like our domestic and sexual violence task force. You know, in the past, this office has really focused all of their efforts on prevention programming in the schools, which is incredibly valuable. We certainly want the prevention programming to continue. And we're going to work to make sure that that continues by working with our community partners and determining, you know, what is the best way for those programs to be taught in the public schools. And you know, we're working on a more of a strategic approach to our community outreach, and we'll be coming out with clearer plans for that over the summer. And you know, I'm very excited about what we're going to be presenting. I think that I attended the Strive program. It was really wonderful. I know that it's had a big impact on the students that have gone to it. You know, I do have a commitment in this office that all of the programs we do, and particularly programs for youth, will reach a really diverse and a broad range of audiences. So, you know, we're just gonna look at how we can have the biggest impact. But, you know, I understand the concern, I hear the concern, and we are making a plan that will address those concerns.
So for the time being, is there any official statement on the future of Strive, for example?
Well, we will have our director of community outreach that will be starting very soon. And once we get somebody in here and we can really be strategic about our approach, then we'll make public what exactly our plans are. But people, there's not as much cause for alarm maybe as people feel that there is. You know, it really is just an issue of timing and having, you know, I just need some time to come up with a good comprehensive plan.
As a candidate, you ran on transparency and community outreach being a really big part of your vision of the DA's office. It sounds like this hire is going to be a big part of carrying out that campaign promise. What are you looking for in a director of community outreach for your DA's office?
We really were looking for somebody who understands the way the criminal justice system intersects with issues around race and class and poverty, who really had experience working with at-risk youth and was able to really think strategically around these issues and to help us develop a plan that was going to have a big impact in terms of really, you know, helping us strategize around solving the problems that we see here in our community and also, you know, really able to connect with people, all different kinds of people from across Berkshire County.
Are there models for the kind of office you'd like to see?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we did look at what Northwest is doing, but, you know, I know what I want to do, and it really comes from, you know, what I see from, you know, growing up here and from the process of my campaign and being involved with activists in the community and, you know, my work as a defense attorney. I have a good grasp of how I want our community outreach, what kind of impact I want it to have. So we're doing something that is really specifically tailored to what I think is going to be useful here in Berkshire County.
In your inauguration, you talked a lot about how important it was going to be for the activists that you campaigned with to keep you on the straight and narrow, to deliver the kind of reforms you talked about during the election. What kind of work have you done so far to maintain those lines of communication with the people on the front lines of criminal justice reform in Berkshire County?
You know, I have visited different organizations. You know, I know that I've been up to Greylock Together. I know that I've been to the NAACP. You know, I've appeared and spoken at different events like the Four Freedoms events. We've been having people from different nonprofit groups here in the office to talk about how we can work together. We've, you know, done a lot of work with the Elizabeth Freeman Center around domestic and sexual violence. Something that I want to do, and now that I will have a director of community outreach that can help me with this, is to set up a listening tour throughout the entire county. So what I want to do is, you know, set up opportunities for me to meet and have kind of town hall style discussions with people throughout the community to keep that conversation going. But what I've really needed is kind of a person here in the office to help me make that happen. The other piece of community engagement is the communications piece. So I do have a director of communications, and right now we're working on building our website so that we'll be able to share with the community via our website the kind of work that we're doing. We're going to be working on setting up an email listserv. I want to be able to send emails out at least quarterly about our work. And our goal is also to have an annual report. And, you know, it just takes time to put all of these pieces together.
Back in April, you unveiled a new initiative that's going to fulfill another campaign promise you made to more directly address domestic violence and sexual assault in Berkshire County. I'm interested in what's come out of the new task force you put together from county leaders to address those issues. It's only a couple months in, but what have you seen emerge from the group so far?
Yes. Yeah, so right now we have a pretty good size steering committee, and at our, you know, our first gathering of the steering committee, we started really working on our mission statement and our statement of values. So that is really going to form the core basis of the work that we do. We've decided, you know, it's a big challenge figuring out how to get a large group of people to work on a big systemic issue like domestic violence. And the way that we have decided to address that is by breaking things into committees. And so at the next meeting, we're going to be reviewing like what the committees are, who's going to be the chair of each committee. And at that point, we'll be able to really go out into the community and plug people into specific tasks. It's going to be very task oriented because we want to give people, we want it to be an action. We want to give people action items. So that people can actually, you know, be working on these topics. But we have gotten a really, really tremendous response from people that want to be involved, which is exciting.
6 months into your tenure as DA of Berkshire County, I want to hear about the successes that you've achieved in that time and also the challenges. What's been harder to do than you thought it would be and what's still on the docket to accomplish?
You know, some changes are just easy to make because, you know, I can just make them. And for example, you know, the way that we approach our cases in district court, probably the most common charge that we see in district court is operating after suspension. So that's for people who are driving and their driver's license has been suspended. And normally the licenses are suspended for like regulatory infractions, but it's, you know, can be very expensive. So it's really an issue that hits people who are living on the margins and who are struggling financially the hardest. So, you know, we have been able to, you know, just work with people, you know, give people time to, you know, whatever time they need to restore their license, and we push the arraignments off so that we're trying not to even arraign people on those kinds of charges. Other kind of smaller charges, you know, like our approach to things like shoplifting, our approach to things like possession of small amounts of drugs, you know, we tend to dismiss those as long as, you know, the goods are returned to the store or people pay restitution, and they're not like repeat offenders. We're really like, we're able to just have an impact on that right away, and focus on more serious crimes. The kinds of things that are more difficult to implement, you know, we are changing to a vertical prosecution model, and that means that one ADA and one victim advocate will be working on the case throughout the life of the case. And we think that this is going to have a huge impact on justice here in Berkshire County because it's going to be better for victims because they're going to be dealing with one group of people for the entire length of a case. It's going to move things along and make things faster. The big problem, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. So, you know, that's a bit of a process because as new cases come in, then they're reassigned and in the vertical prosecution model. So we hope by October we'll be fully at a vertical prosecution model. You know, some of the challenges that just take time are, you know, there's a number of cases in Superior Court that were ongoing, obviously, for a long time before we got here. And, you know, you're kind of at a certain point in a case, you're a little bit stuck with what you've got. And, you know, we're really are working very closely with law enforcement on the you know, helping to with the investigation piece and working more together and being on the same page. And, you know, we've been able to make a lot of those changes right away. The communication with our police officers, we have been, you know, when we summons officers to come to court, now we send them a copy of the motion so that they know why they're coming. We send them the final decision so that they know what happened. We've been preparing people for their testimony and really just being proactive about that. Things that are difficult to change, you know, we're going through, you know, I think the biggest challenge that I am grappling with right now is just bringing in more resources, particularly for, you know, if we want to start diverting more cases in district court. So people who have mental health problems or drug problems, bringing in those resources that people can utilize. That's a really common theme that I hear across the county is the lack of mental health services. And so many people end up in the criminal justice system because of mental illness. And that's the most difficult thing to address.
Earlier this month, North Adams installed its new police chief, Jason Wood. I'm interested in what your relationship has been like with this new law enforcement leader in the county and what kind of effort goes into working a new figure like that into your countywide efforts to carry out criminal justice reform and initiate your projects like the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Task Force.
A big part of our approach to, just to take domestic and sexual violence as an example, something new that we're doing is we have an on-call ADA and an on-call victim advocate. And so we're really encouraging law enforcement to contact them like early on in the life of a case. So for example, with Chief Wood, you know, he was somebody that I reached out to early on in the process to get his feedback. We invited him to join the steering committee for the Domestic and Sexual Violence Task Force. And he's been a really, it's been really important to have his voice on the task force. And, you know, it's just an example of really how we want to work more closely with law enforcement all over the community.
Back in February, you announced that your office was going to drastically reduce the number of situations in which cash bail would be utilized in an effort to change a nationwide trend of racial disparity and how cash bail tends to affect people, often the lowest rungs of the criminal justice system. I've heard arguments from people ranging from members of the bail bonds industry to criminal justice system reform advocates who suggest that maybe putting that much power in the hands of judges, that is to say, removing cash bail and replacing it entirely with the discretion of a single judge, could be as dangerous as cash bail was in its heyday. With that being said, what goes into your calculations in a pretrial hearing to make sure that either cash bail is being used appropriately or the situation best calls for a judge's discretion?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when I was in Portugal, I had an opportunity to talk to some of my colleagues about how they implemented their cash bail policies. And I talked to Larry Krasner from Philadelphia. I spoke with George Gascon, who's the DA in San Francisco. And it was really helpful to be able to talk through these issues with them because they, you know, have more experience than I do in implementing their new cash bail policies. And something that, so what we have done is we have a presumption that we do not seek cash bail in like district court cases, which are generally lower level cases. And you know, that's worked very well. We've stuck to that for the most part. I mean, we will sometimes ask for cash bail if we think somebody is a genuine flight risk, because the purpose of cash is to get people to return to court. So if there's indications that somebody has run from the police or they haven't come to court before, then we might seek some cash bail. But if people are dangerous and we believe that they don't belong on the streets, we ask that the judge hold them as a danger. We have just been, you know, making those requests based on our assessment of the facts and circumstances of the case. So, you know, we look at the specific facts around any instance for indications that somebody could be a danger. So that includes like the nature of the crime, if there was a firearm involved, did they make any threats to the victim or to the community at large. And, you know, we the judges in district court have oftentimes agreed with us in our requests for people to be held as a danger. And I think that it's worked well. One of the things that my colleagues encouraged me to do is to have to use a screening tool. So there's like assessments that you can do to kind of measure a person's risk. And in San Francisco, they use one of these screening tools. There's a lot of controversy around the assessments because it's an algorithm. And some of the factors that go into how the algorithm is calculated can give you kind of an outcome where people of, you know, African-Americans and people of color tend to be held more often than Caucasians. And that's clearly like goes against the reason why we're trying to get eliminate cash bail. And so I did speak with the somebody from the Mass Commission of Probation came out. We had a meeting over in district court to talk about expanding pretrial services. And They are working on creating an assessment tool to use in Massachusetts. Somebody from the University of Massachusetts is working on developing that. I would very much like to have a screening tool in developing, in assessing who we're going to be held as a danger. We don't have it right now. I would like to have one. I think it would be helpful to kind of take some of the biases out of the equation, to make sure it's a fair process, to make sure that we're, you know, targeting the right people. We don't currently have it. But if we are going to use that kind of a tool, I want to know what the questions are. I want to know what the factors are. If you're going to be looking at how many marijuana convictions somebody has on their record, you're going to get a result that can be skewed and not fair. So, you know, Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, they were working on this kind of process where the public defender and his office and there was a judge that were working on trying to come up with a fair tool. So he talked to me a little bit about that process. So I'm happy that we're going to be looking at that in Massachusetts because, you know, for criminal justice reform to be successful, people need to feel safe and people need to be safe. And, you know, what people say is the danger kind of in the cash bail policy is, you know, somebody who we, you know, don't seek to hold as a danger or is released without cash bail, goes out and does something terrible, that it's going to, you know, make the public opinion turn against kind of a shift from incarceration to more, you know, addressing the underlying problems. And I feel like having a screening tool could help prevent that, and it also kind of creates some transparency. Also with us, like, we really do try to have close communication with probation and, you know, with the sheriff's department, with law enforcement, with the local police, so that we can, you know, be smart in identifying, you know, who is dangerous and who is somebody who really just needs help.
Our classic political narrative is a bright-eyed reformer getting into the office and realizing exactly how difficult it can be to roll out the kind of changes that someone wants to see to a political office like the DA's office. I'm interested in what your attitude is like about that so far. Has this process been full of surprises and challenges, or are you finding it easy to carry out the changes you talked about on the campaign trail?
Yeah, I feel like we have made tremendous progress in implementing our vision. And I think that maybe the role of the district attorney is a little bit different than, you know, like being a state legislator. I mean, I'm the head of, like, basically an executive agency, and I have a lot of discretion. And this office gets to use that discretion to bring justice. And the way that we do things here in this office is based on, you know, the values that I ran on, that I talked about, that's why people elected me. And we actually are able to implement those decisions and those values every day in how we handle each and every case. So we are able to have a big impact. The real challenge for me, though, is I think with the data piece. I mean, people want to see numbers. People want to see data. People want to see, you know, how many cases are we dismissing and how many people are being held. And that's harder because, and not that it's impossible to do. It's just a matter of resources. Right now, you know, that's kind of our second half of the year goal, is to really figure out how do we keep track so that we can be transparent and accountable, and so that we can really show people how what kind of decisions we're making and how they're impacting justice here in Berkshire County. I mean, if you go down to the courthouse and you talk to the court officers, they will tell you, I think they will tell you, because they've told other people, there's a big change, and they can see it, and they can see it every day in the way things are happening in the courtrooms. But, you know, we want to be able to show it with numbers. And right now we're not in a position to do that. It's something that I said I would do, and I intend to do it. I just, you know, need some more resources to make it happen.
Where do you think those resources might come from?
Well, I will say that, you know, we have a document management system that's from the 80s, that is used by every DA's office in the state. You know, it's, It can track data. It's very cumbersome and difficult to do it. So all of the DAs want new systems. All of us are being, you know, our communities across the Commonwealth are looking for transparency and accountability from all the DAs. So we're all talking about that. So we could potentially do something statewide where we have a different kind of document management system that better tracks data. That's, I think, the most logical place. There are different kind of groups that are really interested in criminal justice reform that I think could potentially help us to figure out the data piece. I think that's a possibility, too. We've started a working group here in the office, like a technology working group, to start to try to pull apart some of these issues and figure out how we're going to approach them.
One of the biggest cases you've dealt with so far as DA was the quadruple murder homicide in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Are there any updates on that case at this time?
The Sheffield case, the investigation, I know people don't necessarily want to hear this, but it is ongoing. There's a lot of forensic evidence that is out at the different various crime labs that we're waiting for the results of the testing. Our state police detective unit has done a lot of interviews. They're finalizing those police reports. They do have some additional leads that they're going to follow up on. And, we want to release everything all at once. We don't want to put it out in drips and drabs because this is a really important investigation. We're not going to be prosecuting somebody, but this is our opportunity to speak for the victims, and we're their voice. And we understand that this was obviously a very, very upsetting crime for everybody in our community. And we want people to really feel that they can be confident that we have the facts correct, that we are telling them like the truth and this is what happened, so that people don't have to be worrying and second guessing. And in order to do that, best practice is really to put the results of the investigation out when it is complete, because if you put out pieces of information as you go, it can color the investigation. So that's best practice. That's what we're following. And, it's still just going to take a little time, and I know it's difficult, and I really appreciate people being patient with the process, but it is very important that we follow that process. And, it's really, I know it's difficult for people in the community.
What was it like to have a case this horrific and this unthinkable come across your desk this early on into your time as DA?
When I was campaigning and talking about all the things I wanted to do as a district attorney, I had a very clear vision of the kinds of things that I wanted to do as the DA. One of the things I just didn't think about was that when these kinds of things happen, that to a certain extent, I am kind of the eyes and the ears of our community. And I was there at the scene. And, I watched the medical examiner, come and retrieve the victims of that crime. And I really, my purpose in being there was for many reasons, but one of the reasons was to be the conscience of our community and to witness, just to bear witness for the people of Berkshire County, for this terrible act that occurred against these victims who were really innocent. I didn't think about that when I was campaigning for district attorney, but it's certainly sobering. And it's grim, but it's still, a privilege to be in that position.
Again, that was Berkshire DA Andrea Harrington speaking with our Josh Landes. And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to feed the WAMC lockbox and keep our June fund drive short. You can also help us keep making podcasts and programs like this when you pledge. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.